Good morning. A month ago, when Pastor Curtis texted me if I can speak this last week of July, and I said, yes. And I thank the Lord for this opportunity again to speak with you. This morning, I want to talk about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. I can say this is the continuation of the message last 2 weeks. If you have your Bible, please open with me in the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 16. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Verse 16, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. May the Lord bless the reading of this word. Someone said that life would be easy if you did not have to deal with other people. Because we are not perfect and no one else is perfect, either there will be conflicts, disagreements, misunderstanding, and problems. Conflict is a part of life. But not all conflict is bad. Most of us think conflict as something to avoid. But conflict is a trial that gives us an opportunity to grow in many ways. We see conflict as an opportunity to demonstrate the power of forgiveness in our lives, to glorify Him and serve others and grow to be like Christ. But before we continue, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We are here today to worship you, to give you our thanks and offerings, our hearts, and to listen to your word. We ask you, Father, to be our preacher and our teacher. Teach us, empower us, in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just what is forgiveness? The dictionary gives us the definition, forgiveness to stop blaming or being angry with someone for something that person has done, or not punish them for something. Forgiveness is something all of us want to receive, but most of us hesitate to give. There are times in our lives we don't want to talk about forgiveness because we are not ready for it. But when we are not ready for it, it's the time we need it. Forgiveness is a big word, just 7 letters. But it is something that takes years to learn how to do well, and more than learning how to do it. The very important question is why we forgive? What are some of the major reasons to forgive? Number one, forgiving is commanded by God. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgiveness is commanded by God. Forgiveness must be immediate, whether or not a person asks of it. If someone hurts you repeatedly, you are commanded by God to forgive them instantly. But you are not expected to trust them immediately. And you are not expected to continue allowing them to hurt you. As a Christian, we are not called to forgive because we don't want to be bitter. As a Christian, we are called to forgive because we have been forgiven. So forgiveness is commanded by God. This alone is enough reason to forgive. The second reason, forgiving is exemplified by God and exemplified by Jesus. This example excuses no one for not forgiving. The third reason, forgiving reflects God's character. Jesus preached the powerful ministry of forgiveness. When we forgive, we reflect God's glory. And number four, forgiving sets free and forgiving sets the offender free. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and when we stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. To forgive is to set a prisoner free. Non-forgiveness equates with self-condemnation, because when you do not forgive, we never receive forgiveness from God. Also, forgiving sets the offended free from ill feelings. People who have unforgiveness in their hearts are tortured by their wickedness, by their bitterness. In fact, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and wanting for the rat to die. Those who do not forgive are digging their own grave of loneliness. Number five, forgiving enables people to repair, to restore, and to reinvent broken relationships. Forgiving is in the heart of Christian doctrine. In our text this morning, Romans chapter 12, verse 14 to 16, Paul gives us advice on how to relate and how to forgive others. Because when we forgive, there is a power. When we forgive, we live, number one, when we forgive, we live a life of blessing. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. So when we forgive, we live a life of blessing. I think this is one of the most unnatural things that you and I will ever do. How do you love someone who is committed to persecuting you? Humiliating you, embarrassing you. It is easy to love people who love you. It is easy to pretend to love when everyone loves you. But But what about when someone hates you and persecutes you? Revenge is one of the most natural of human responses to hurt or injury or bad attitudes. What do we do when people hurt us and cause pain? To show the distinctiveness of being Christians, we need to respond with love and forgiveness to those who do evil to us. One of the great threats of the people of God is that we are forgivers. God's people are forgivers. To forgive biblically means don't return evil when evil is done against us. You bless them instead. There is a story. A married couple had many sharp disagreements over the course of their marriage. Yet somehow the wife always stayed calm and collected. On their 25th anniversary, the husband commented on his wife's restraint. "When I get mad at you," he said, "you never fight back. How do you control your anger?" The wife replied, "I work it up cleaning the toilet." The husband asked, "How does that help?" She said, "I use your toothbrush." Please don't do that to your husband. To bless, it means not to fight back. That means when they speak evil of you, you speak well of them. The word bless in this text is taken, which means invoke a benediction upon. This is the context, the word, when we say, "God bless you," to someone. When we bless, a blessing is returned to us in many, many ways. We reap what we sow, and that's one of the reasons Paul gave this exhortation to his readers. When we bless those curse us, we break the cycle of anger and hatred. To bless your enemy, it means you're willing to forgive them, and when we forgive, we live a life of blessing. The second, when we forgive, we live a life of peace. Romans chapter 12, verse 15, "Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep." When we forgive, we live a life of peace. In other translation, both rejoicing, in other translation is not happy but rejoicing. Both rejoicing with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep are indication of peaceful relationship, indication of Christian love. I am convicted by the words of one commentator: to refuse to rejoice with another reveals envy in our hearts. To refuse to weep with another is to reveal a lack of compassion in your heart. Either way, you have a serious problem. Apostle Paul talks about this attitude of personally being there for each other. If we are going to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, it means we have to make the intentional effort to involve ourselves deeply with those who weep. When we forgive, we are being merciful, compassionate. When we forgive, we are being peacemaker. How can we be peacemakers in our relationship? be at peace with those around you. Having peace means being in the right relationship with others. Someone said, the best way to destroy an enemy is to make him a friend. The other version, the best way to destroy an enemy is to turn him into a friend. Forgiveness, it breaks down walls of hostility. So the power of forgiveness transforms anger and hurt into healing and peace. Forgiveness can help you overcome feelings of depression, anxiety, and rage, as well as personal and relational conflicts. Any relationship becomes difficult relationship, and the quality of our lives is only as good as the quality of our relationships. As a Christian, we cannot escape conflict from our homes to our workplace, places, school, and churches, or in church. Conflicts surround us, but God called us to be peacemakers. Apostle Paul, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who are weep, those who weep, is a very practical way to show your peaceful relationship to others. Again, in IV translation, rejoice with those who rejoice. It is not always easy to rejoice with those who rejoice. Because when we start comparing ourselves to others, with others, that can lead to discontent, envy, grumbling, and broken relationship. As a Christian, we should be above reproach according to the world's standard. We should live at peace with one another in conduct and conduct our lives aiming for what is noble, honest, and proper. Living at peace with others is one of the marks of the children of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Being peacemakers, peacemaker is the mark of being child of God, because God is the God of peace. Believers ought to live at peace with others in every sphere of life, in a home, in church, in workplaces, and in the world. We can have peace of mind only when we forgive. Forgive others, not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. And the last one, when we forgive, we live a life of harmony. Verse 16, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. The Christian life is not a competition, it is a relationship. We are not all in the same place of spiritually. Being different is not a matter of being better than or worse than another. We are not always right. Everyone has something to teach us. Being of the same mind requires that we be open to new understanding. The problem is not that we are different. The problem is what we do with our disagreements. We should seek unity in our relationships and not demand uniformity. If we are to develop harmonious living, we must do more than merely avoid becoming stuck up and snooty in our attitude toward others. We will at times view things differently. The test of a Christian character is how we choose to respond. We can respond with grace or hostility. Forgiveness is a bond that ties people together. It is not perfection. When two or more people continue to be together for a long time, it's not because each of them is perfect. It's only because those who are getting offended forgive. As a husband and wife, I don't know how many times we argue. For almost 8 years, this coming August, I don't know how many times we argue. We argue. Maybe some of you, more than 20 years being married. Maybe some of you 30 years, 40 years, or 50 years. I heard there is a 70 years, we will be celebrating 70 years of anniversary. It's a long time. We congratulate you. We congratulate you. Not because being personally perfect, but for being forgiving to the other. Husband and wives who do not forgive, the marriage drifting apart more and more. They might love, they might live under the same roof, but there is no love. There is hardly communication. And when they do communicate, it is usually more fuel on the fire. There is no goodwill between them. No willingness to give their spouse the benefit of the doubt. Word and actions are misunderstood. And the meaning twisted. In most cases, the marriage eventually ends because none of us can live under such intense pressure for a long time. So how to be empowered to forgive? Again, in verse 16, don't be too proud or be less proud. If you want to be forgiving, you have to take yourself less seriously. Because most offenses come from injured pride. The less pride, the more power to forgive. And not only that, the less pride, the more power not to take offense at all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Always be humble, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Again, how to be empowered to forgive? Don't go to any relationship with too much expectation. Psalms 103, verse 14. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. God remembers that we are dust. And you should also remember your husband and your wife, your father or mother, your son or daughter or your friend. You remember that person is made of dust. know, understand, and realize your own situation, your own imperfection, your own offenses against God, and you will be enlightened to forgive. We should be able to forgive those that don't deserve to be forgiven when we realize how often we have wronged to the Lord. Yet, He continues to forgive us. Yes, you can forgive someone who has been unfaithful to you when you remember how faithful you have been to the Lord. God has forgiven you many times for little and big things. You need to do the same and forgive them. Before I will close this message in prayer, I will ask the music team to lead us in closing song. And may I request everyone to please stand. Thank you for forgiving our sins. We thank you for your word. We thank you for reminding us of how to forgive. I pray continue to touch our hearts and to obey and to follow your word. In moment of silence, think of the people that have wronged you, people that have caused you pain, and forgive them right now. Let us pray together. Let us pray individually. We ask the Lord to give us strength, to give us knowledge, to forgive the people who wrong us, the people cause us pain to us. Let us pray individually. Father, thank you for reminding us. Right now, Lord, give us the power, give us the love. The impossible, make it possible in our lives. Teach us through your love and mercy to forgive to those who hurt us. This is our prayer in your name. Amen. May I request Pastor Shane to lead us in benediction.
Thank you, June, for that message. Benediction comes from 1 Timothy. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week.